Come on, Thrive Church. Man, I'm excited this morning. Come on. We've been traveling a little bit, but bounced around to a few places and was able to, you know, fly in late. And then we have some good friends that stick closer than a brother that picked us up, you know, Henry and Liz, and drove us here last night, right? And so here we are this morning. And so, you know, I was praying over there and I don't know. I like to pray and ask the Lord what he's going to do. And I feel like God's going to deposit some things into this service. You know, I like saying, let's see if you guys got it. When I say that's crazy, you guys will say, no, that's God, all right? That's crazy.
No, that's God.
And this year, you know, if already Jewish calendar, the year has already started, the year of Vav, where they say that heaven on earth, more than any other time. So I want you to think about that. If you're tapped into and walking with Jesus and walking with the Holy Spirit, that this year we would see heaven. Isn't it interesting that the world is trying to tell us that it's getting worse? But then in the Jewish calendar, the year of Vav, it's heaven on earth. So it must take some really dark times in order to see who are sheep and who is with Jesus, right? And so, you know, at our church, we do something. Well, first of all, let me honor the pastors of this house. Come on, give it up for Pastors Nathan, Pastor Allie, the whole team, Pastor Stephanie. Come on. She is a little fire. She'd be like, whoom, she'd be moving. You know, she'd be moving. And so just everybody has been so welcoming, and it's super awesome being here. And so, you know, when we always tell people we're going to Athens, you know, they're like, oh, I go, yes, Greece. So everybody thinks I'm in Greece now. But they'll find out later I'm in Texas. And so before I jump in, you know, I got to honor my wife, baby Ruth. You know, I love my baby Ruth. All I have to say is she is fine. She's hot. You know, it keeps me smiling and excited. And let me tell you something. What you guys are doing, Night Out with Jesus. How many of y'all went to Night Out with Jesus? Come on. Listen, don't miss those nights. I'm telling you, don't miss those nights. Listen, what's happening in Athens, let me tell you how it started real quick, just so that you could know. I put it in more detail. It's in the book, but Ruthie and I made a decision one time. You know, we didn't have any finances, and we finally started getting some finances, and we stopped eating the bologna and the hot dogs. You know, those are our date nights. And, you know, you could do a date night real cheap. You know, a Monopoly board, a little hot dog, a little chili, boom, date night. And so when we finally started going out, we made a decision that we were going to bless somebody else. And we weren't going to eat. So the only money that we had, we would go and, like, we would pay for somebody. I think we went to the IHOP on 59 in Houston. And we went and we paid and we watched. And they were like. And then they look around. You know, the whole classic, right? Because they don't know who did it. And then that was our night. We would go home. And then we would talk about it on the way home. Oh, did you see the way they got, man? That's awesome. So we wanted to give people an encounter. And we didn't want to let them know who it was so that God could get all the credit. And so then, you know, we started a church and we decided, hey, let's go out. And so we kept doing it. I heard this past weekend, the whole sanctuary was for like 200 people or something, 100 something people actually went out in Houston. But there was about 14, 15 churches. You guys are a part of a movement that is bigger than our church. We just went and did a little television, you know, for the book and stuff. And they showed Night Out with Jesus to over 8 million homes. They're believing that this is going to catch fire and it's going to be 50 states. And he's like, we're going to make phone calls and we're going to get everybody on board. And it's going to be all 50 states. Now, we used to say something a long time ago at our church, Mission America. We were like, man, we want to cover America. We want to see, you know, all these things that we were proclaiming and we were desiring was the heart of God. Fast forward and God is doing it. Amen. That's crazy. All right, you guys are getting there. You guys are getting there. You guys should be the awake crowd, right? So something that we do at our church is we usually have our Bibles and we tell everybody, hey, if you got your Bible, raise it in the sky, you know. And so you got your Bibles. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's the Word of God. Today I'm good soil. I'm going to hear what it says. Accept it, and it'll bear fruit in Jesus' name. We got to start making Bibles cool again. So let me show you what I mean by that before I jump into this, because every single week is really a that's crazy, no, that's God message. Every single week. Everybody chases the that's crazy. Everybody wants the dramatic and the spectacular, but nobody wants to do the that's God part. And I believe it's because we don't have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and the foundation. It's not just the first thing, it's the foundation of all wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One brings understanding. In other words, experiential knowledge, when you actually apply. So you have to have the fear of the Lord. Most people aren't in generosity because it takes the Spirit of God to be generous. And it takes the fear of God to actually, for you to have the fear of God, to actually listen to what God has to say. So we got to prime and pump you. We got to prime and pump you, you know. Everybody, come on. You got to lift up your hands. Come on, the worship team, you know, you guys, some people come to church and they get Jesus only on Sundays. And so the worship team who's been prepping, they got to prime and pump you. Come on, raise your hands. Come on, dance for the Lord. Imagine if everybody was spending time with Jesus all week. They would be on fire by the time they got to Sunday. You would out-worship the worshipers on the platform. Come on, you would be singing already. Come on, today I was joking with them 50 seconds before, and I was like, come on, let's worship. You know, I'm ready, because they don't have to prime and pump me. Are you with me? So let's say I asked somebody for a gift. Come bring me a gift. Aw, you're the gift, girl. No, I'm joking. Hey, sorry. I got natural-minded for a minute. Okay, so she gives me this gift. When she gave me the gift, did I accept it? No, I grabbed it. You ever got a Christmas gift and they gave it to you, but you didn't really use it? So you didn't really accept it. You just grabbed it and stuck it in the closet. And then somebody else, you give it to somebody else. Come on, let's be real. Christmas is coming. Somebody's going to get a recycled gift, right? You were like, I don't really need it. So you didn't really accept it. You accepted it. The only way I accept this gift is if I use it. So if I do this, then I've accepted the gift. Are you with me? So here when Jesus says, when we say, hey, I received the word, we have this culture of, I believe I received, like Shrek. But the reality is that in order for you to believe and receive it, you have to accept it. That means if you accept it, you're actually applying the very thing you said you accepted. If there's no application, you really didn't accept it. You just grabbed it but put it on the shelf. Now you're frustrated. You come to church, but you're frustrated. And you blame everybody. It's the pastor's fault. They should have this class. They should have that class. It's everybody's fault but your own. See, when we look at the supernatural, we actually think that the supernatural is a spooky thing. We love the spooky. But when I say supernatural, I believe that it's God's transforming your natural into something godly. Are you with me? There has to be a transformation. Come on, I used to think that the only time God was moving was when something big happened. But God was moving in the little things. See, we started with two people night out with Jesus, and it continued, and it carried. It wasn't the one big thing. It was all the little things, and at some point, it turned into a big thing. But because we look at things just like the world, we have brought the world into the church. That's what happened in the church of Corinth. We have brought the world into the church. In other words, we look at it through a world lens. It's got to make sense in order for us to do it. See, the natural, my first point is that the natural can't grasp the supernatural. The natural cannot grasp the supernatural. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 2:14? It reads like this. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, or foolishness to him. Without the Spirit, God's work looks foolishness. This is why when you do things, people will say, that's crazy, and we will say,
no, that's God.
Oh, y'all are good. The supernatural life isn't about chasing experiences. It's about being transformed by the Spirit through faith in Christ so we can see the hand of God in every circumstance as we walk by faith and not by sight. When you look at 1 Corinthians, you even see the Apostle Paul saying that he did not come in persuasive speech, but he came in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Spirit, so that your faith may not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. Knowing that in those times, there were great philosophers, man. There was a bunch of Charlie Kirks kind of debating everywhere, philosophers and teachers, and they were all, and he said, I didn't come with that kind of wisdom. I came in the demonstration of the power. I came to you in a transformed life. Are you with me? That's what he's saying. And he starts talking about spiritual wisdom. And he starts saying what no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human heart has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Because the people that crucified God, they couldn't have been hearing stuff from the Spirit, because if that, they would have never crucified him. And then you wind up in 1 Corinthians 3, which I thought was so interesting. Y'all might remember this. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you were still not ready because you're still worldly. See, a lot of times we think generosity is tied to what you're giving in your hand. Your hand is connected to your heart. And the reason most people aren't generous is because either your heart is hardened or you walk by sight and not by faith. See, we think faith is just something you use when you got to build up your confidence for something big. But that's not accurate. And how he knew that they were, how he knew they were not ready is because they were still worldly. And how did he know they were worldly? It says, for since there envy and strife among you, are you not worldly and behaving like mere humans? For whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not acting like mere humans? So strife and envy, flesh, was showing that when he saw all this division, he knew that it was flesh. It couldn't have been spirit. And when you look at the planet today, we have all kinds of people, even within the body of Christ, that are either trapped by offense or offended, and they're not operating in the spirit, because the spirit always brings things together. This is why your marriage is a direct reflection of your salvation. It's two selfless people becoming one. As the body of Christ in Ephesians 5, he says, the body, Jesus is the head. We should be becoming one, not separated. And he's talking about all of these things which lead me to, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, when you hear the word walk, as I said a little bit ago, it's not just you're waiting to have faith for a big moment. It's your daily life. It's every day when you wake up, you're living by faith, because you're making decisions based on the kingdom. See, those who are following deny themselves, carry the cross, and follow him. Most are talking about following without denying. Every no to the flesh is a yes to a promise. But when you walk by sight, you don't say no to the flesh. You actually come into agreement with the flesh. And when you walk by faith, you're coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit. And so you see things from a different place. This is why David, who walked by faith, can slay Goliath. The rest of the folks walked by sight, how big the problem is, and, you know. So my question to you today is, are you walking by faith or by sight? Faith is God's realm. Sight is the flesh's realm. And fear is the enemy's realm. A lot of times I hear people, oh, I'm walking with Jesus. And I'm like, well, you're not really walking with Jesus if you're not being led by the Spirit. You're not. Just because I go into McDonald's, I'm not a Big Mac. It's just as much as if I walk into your garage, I'm not a car. You know those sayings. A lot of times we think, oh, we come into the building. And this is a great place to be, to actually be born again. But your frustrations in life, the reason why you don't experience the that's crazy is because you're not doing the that's God. You keep chasing the that's crazy without God. It's like trying to do Jesus without Jesus. Are you with me? It's like having Whataburger without a burger. You just have a what up. You wouldn't have a Whataburger. They'd be like, what up? They'd be like, what a what? You're like, what up? That's how most of our lives are. Come on, when you're walking, that means you have direction. That means that your decisions daily, you're walking not by sight, you're walking by faith. It's what you perceive, what you interpret, what you feel, not just your physical eyes, but natural thinking. Are you with me? Let me give you a story. I can give you some. It's the difference between when you're walking by faith and not by sight. Most people, if you really think about it, let's just say we were in the times of Noah. In the times of Noah, you would have seen him building a boat, and you definitely would have thought he was doing something wrong after today. We don't even last 3 months. But let's just say you lasted a couple years. Even if you were his good friend, after about 10, 20 years, come on, Brother Henry, you're like, I don't know, Juan. It ain't no rain yet. It's been 20 years. You're still building the boat. You've been preaching the same message. Nobody's getting saved, only your kids and your wife. 120 years later. Even when he left, you would think, man, you sure failed. But God's instruction is perfect, and he knew that. And he probably was like, great job, Noah. Where we would have looked at Noah through sight. And this is where there's this tension between faith and sight, even amongst the people. Because when you say, I'm building a boat, I've never seen rain, people go, ah, bro. Maybe you're the first person in your family who's going to conquer anger. And nobody in your family has seen it, so they're all like, nah, this is how you should do it. If it was exactly how you've done it, then you're probably still going to have the problem. So we have to move by faith. Let me give you another story so that you can see something natural. So, you know, it's me and Ruthie. You know, I get out. I got a hole in the bottom of my left shoe. I got $50 and another $50. And I got about $100 and I'm living in Texas. And the Spirit of God told me to stay in Texas. So I stood in Texas. I got my baby Ruth, first time in my life, you know, as a single man. Come on. I look at my hotness, but she wasn't my hotness yet. She was just hot. And so the natural mind was like, right, like test the car, you know, all that good stuff, right? Don't get super, like, pompous in here, holy, right? Like, the reality is this. When I look at my wife, well, I looked at Ruthie back then, which she just told me the other side, and she was like, we were wanting to have, you know, what married people do, sex, just in case. Just in case, two married people. And I was like, no. That was so foreign to me. That was faith, not sight. Sight would have told me to, like, just have sex. But I told her no, and then she got upset. Why? Because most of her life, now this is the beginning of her walk, right? And most of her life, men told her, I love you. Just to have sex. So now a man who's coming to respect her is foreign. So she's mad. You got to catch what the Spirit is saying to you. Sometimes when a person lives by faith, sight people at that moment, the flesh might be like, oh, that's wrong. So she goes and she starts praying. She comes back and she's like, oh, you know, if you want to do it, if you want to walk it out like that, then let's do that. And so that's how I knew that my wife was my wife. Because I saw that she was obedient, and then I learned that she went to the car to go pray. So now we're both walking in agreement and together. Are you with me? All of a sudden, boom, we get married. Right? And there's like a trillion stories in the book, but we get married, and I don't have no finances. I wind up being a translator for this church, and I was getting $300 a month. Come on. Sight would, you know, I have people, $300 a month, you need to go get a job. I was like, no, I feel like this is what God is telling me to do. So I'm a grown man making $300 a month through prayer. And my wife, she's cool with it. Her sisters are like, oh, man, you know, what's he going to work at McDonald's? You know, they're saying all kinds of stuff. Because they don't know either. They're all walking by sight. But we're walking by faith. And so then they ask us to be the pastors there, Spanish pastors at that. And so, you know, I got introduced to the American Jesus. And so, you know, I got to go predicar en español. I got to preach in Spanish. And so the Lord tells me after about a year and a half, because we were only filling in, after about a year and a half to go start a Bible study. So I tell her we're going to move. I'm going to leave my $300 a month job, and we're going to start a Bible study. And she's like, and we were paying more money in this one apartment, and we're going to move to another apartment that was more money. Totally the opposite. And I knew it was God because it said mansions at Turkey Creek. And I said, this is the Lord. She said, how do you know? I said, there's a verse that says he has prepared a mansion for us. And it's right there. Literally what happened. She's like, so you're going to leave your job. your $300 a month. We're going to move into Mansion at Turkey Creek, which is more money. And your bright idea is we're going to start a Bible study. I said, yep. And here we are today. We winded up planting the church, and the person that got saved that asked us if we wanted to do the Bible study, they actually got married last week after 12 years. She wanted to get married, this lady that we met. That's crazy. So real quick, seven fears that block your that's crazy, no, that's God. Okay, fear of failure is the first one. Fear of failure. In other words, fear of making mistakes keeps many from stepping into purpose. God calls us to stewardship, but not perfection. Failure isn't final, it's formation. Every time you take a step of faith, see, we don't think sight tells you that failure is no good. But when you're in faith, failure is just you getting refined by fire and getting formed and made into his image. So you can't look at it the same way. The next one is fear of rejection. When you fear people's opinions, you trade divine affirmation for human validation. People are always going to come against you, and they're going to say things when you're operating in faith. And remember, when you're operating in faith by way of the Spirit, it should always be anchored to the Word. Your destiny is tied to obedience, not applause. The next one is the fear of the unknown. Come on. Listen, he told Abraham, go, and then I'll show. We want God to show, and then we'll go. Every single thing I've done in my life and I'm still doing has been in a faith factor. None of it made sense to me. Every single decision usually doesn't make sense to me. It makes sense after. I get understanding after I'm obedient. Are you with me? Don't let comfort zones become cages. God reveals as you go, not before you go. Then the next one is fear of inadequacy. Come on. I can't even imagine hanging out with Moses and him stuttering and him saying, hey, Juan, God wants me to talk to the people. See, we look at those things. I see sometimes people that can talk and they're afraid to talk. And isn't it interesting that here he's showing us that, hey, even though he's inadequate, God still wants to use him. And so you can't, I used to think those things. I used to think, man, I wasn't smart enough. And then I bumped into scriptures where God gives me wisdom. And so then I knew I was a genius. I took the pressure off myself. But there's all these scriptures and verses that talk about God's wisdom. And when you look at 2 Timothy 1:7 and it talks about having a sound mind, that actually means disciplined thinking. Disciplined thinking. Listen, your I can't is God's, is where God proves I am. I want you to think about the things that you say you can't. You know what you actually say? Because I hear this a lot, and I get to travel the planet. And most of the time, people are like, I can't. What you're actually saying is that you're the one doing it. That's what you're actually saying. But when you're living by faith, you're being dependent upon him, and actually he's the one doing it in and through you. Are you with me? Fear of loss, whatever you lose for Christ's sake, he restores many times over. The enemy will always get you to think that you're losing everything. My Bible says that when you lose everything, you gain everything. That you have to come to the end of yourself in order to become. Peter left his nets. Abraham left his homeland. Both gained destiny. Come on, the next one is the fear of man. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The opinions of others are loud, but your obedience is louder. The reason why most of the time people care about what people think is because, you know, like let's say I was an orange tree and somebody was like calling me an apple tree. It really wouldn't matter as long as I have oranges on my tree. The problem is when we don't. See, that's the problem. A lot of time because we are living by sight and we're not living by faith. You know, a guy, let's say I bump into a guy, which has happened a gajillion times, you know, when my marriage is great, it shows the rest of the planet that marriage between two men or marriage between two women is not. But if we don't start having great marriages, then they go, you know, I met a guy. He said, you know, a guy who smoked marijuana, and we had a good dialogue. Before you know it, he didn't want to quit, you know. He told me he wanted to quit. But it was easy for me to say, man, I'm always joyful. You go like this. So you need weed to keep you happy. What if you had it all the time? I said, bro, I'm like this all the time for free. I said, my friends are like this all the time. It's like we all got high. But you got to go to your little weed to be happy so I can prove a point to him. But he could go to some Christians and he goes, man, you don't look happy at all. You should probably smoke. Are you with me? There has to come a time. I'm telling you, I see a lot of bitter. They're like, praise the Lord. And I'm like, oh, my God. Why would I want that? Where's the joy? Where's the peace in the middle of the storm? Where's the love? Where's the kindness? Where's the gentleness? Where's the self-control that can only be produced by way of the Spirit and the finished work of the cross? Listen, then the last one is fear of spiritual opposition. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Why? If we're living by faith, see, if you're living by sight, you're always fighting flesh and blood. This is where he said in Corinthians that, hey, you guys have envy and strife. You're acting worldly and like mere humans. But when you're living by faith, you know that your fight is not against flesh and blood. So when warfare arises, you don't shrink back. Because you know that the resistance actually confirms progress. Even in this, if I was to get in detail of this, you know, where this all comes from, it was like hand-to-hand combat. Like when you go to the Roman Colosseum and they're like this right next to each other. They were that close. You're going to feel some pressure. You're going to feel some resistance. But the supernatural is already at work. Do you remember James chapter 1 where he talks about that the testing of your faith produces endurance? Come on, when we're talking about having a heart of generosity, you're talking about a heart that is postured in worship, not just singing, postured in a place of obedience. You live like this in every area of your life. Are you with me? If you just look at that one verse, think about it. It says, consider it a pure joy when you get these trials. The reason why we're not joyful when those things happen is because you're not operating in way of the Spirit. Because only the Spirit produces joy. But when I live my daily life, let me show you. I see a various trial. Something happens. I get the feelings. But I'm not led by my feelings. I'm led by my faith. Because my feelings will always have me focus on sight and circumstances. So I have to learn to be, as the terms are used, emotionally intelligent. In other words, I can say, well, these emotions, oh, I can grab a hold of them, tie them up for a minute. I'm not saying they're not real. They're just indicating what's going on in my heart. Are you with me? Then, remember the quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry? Okay, so that is after you asking God for his wisdom. Be quick to listen to what? To God's wisdom. So when I'm feeling feelings or when something's happening by various trials, test, trial, or trouble, I can actually stop. You know, I miss it at times, but most of the time I stop. I calm, I be still, and I know that he's God. So then I'm still, I know he's God. I actually think about what's trying to rise above his wisdom, and I pull it down. I deny, I carry my cross, and I follow. I'm quick to listen to what God has to say about the situation. But most people, because you're in sight, you live reactively, you don't respond. Supernatural examples are peace in the middle of chaos. Forgiveness towards someone who hurt you. Kindness towards an enemy. Joy when the enemy attacks. You have to replace fear with truth. Fear is fueled by lies. You got to be strong and courageous. Come on. Discouragement. You know, discouragement is pretty much of the devil. When people are like, man, I'm discouraged. That's the absence of courage. And God tells you to be strong and courageous. Not because of what you're feeling. You're strong and courageous because of who he is. Amen. Amen? Amen? Come on. But here's the thing. As we close out, I want to tell you three things. Because Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I'm trying and I'm trying to listen to what God is saying and I'm trying to live in the spirit, but somehow I just keep going back. And somehow I just keep going back. So the first thing I want to tell you is that John 3:38, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This guy fasts, this guy prays, this guy does all the religious stuff. And he still can't see the kingdom. You ever think about that? I think that's most people. You know, you go, you went to night out with Jesus. You do the fasting. You prayed. Come on, you read your Bible. But there's no spirit. So you dry up. You're frustrated, angry. And he sits down with Jesus and he's like, what must I do to see? He said, you got to be born again. He hits him with a sight answer. He goes, I got to go back at my mama? Jesus is like, no. You have to be born again. Why? Because in order to see, you have to be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Come on. New species. Salvation is not just a moral makeover. It's a spiritual metamorphosis. Come on. Romans 12, metamorphosis. See, a lot of times when we come to Christ or we come to church, we're trying to be a caterpillar that crawls better. You know, you just think about a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. I guarantee you, listen, it's not about you being better. It's not that you were sick in sin. It's that you were dead in sin. Do you hear me today? You're dead in sin. And so what we do is we come and we're like, oh, I'm just going to crawl better. If God can make me a better person, or if my job situation can get better, if my relationships can get better. Oh, you know, I'm angry, man. I'm angry. We got a long line of anger in my family. You know, if I could just have a little bit of no angry for this week, you know, we're just striving, not from the finished work of the cross, but we're just striving to be better. And God's like, better? I don't even want you to crawl no more. I don't even crawling. That's not even in our new nature, man. I don't want you to be a better you. You suck. He's like, what? Remember your best idea? Your best plan before you came to me? Do you remember that? It was horrible. There was a scene, way that seemed right to you that led to destruction. He said, I want you to be a butterfly. I don't want you to ever crawl again. And in this sanctification process, when you say yes in your heart, it's not just the magic words that you say, but there's something in your heart where you believe and you come into agreement of what he's done on the cross, that he is now Lord. And then it begins. Deny myself. You're in the cocoon. It seems dark. You're denying yourself. You're carrying your cross and you're following. Denying, carrying, and following. Denying. And all of a sudden, boom. You hear somebody singing. And through it all. And you're flying. Man, you got colors on your wings. Man, I guarantee you, that guy never wants to crawl again. He might have some moments where he might kick on. Maybe that's why they land on stuff. You know? Then at some moments where maybe I should crawl. Then he's like, nah, for what? I ain't ever crawling again. Oh, look at that. I can't even imagine that guy wanting to crawl again. And he's like, hey, you flying too? And they're all flying. And there's a couple people trying to crawl better. I want to read you a verse as we stand to our feet. Ephesians 2:1-5. Everybody say this with me. Holy Spirit, speak to me right now. Listen to what it says. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. Come on, that's who you were following. You weren't denying anything. If you're still, you cannot follow unless you deny. Deny looks like no. Because I'm alive. No. Crosses. Oh. on the finished work. Look at this. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, but God. Oh, man, this is good stuff right here. I get excited. You know, because, what a wretch like me. And then, but God, being rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. Everybody say, I'm alive. Come on, it made us alive together with Christ. By this grace, you've been saved. That's good news. That's good news. And so this is not a condemning message. This is a message to come alive. See, we focus so much on what the hand can do, but the hand is connected to the heart. Everything you do, that's why it's hard for you to forgive. That's why it's hard for you to give. That's why it's hard for you to evangelize. That's why it's hard for you. Hard for you because you live like this. Because you're still in the flesh. You're still trying to crawl better. He wants a new nature. Are you with me? And so, I'm going to ask you this question. You're going to ask this question. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me?